And a very pleasant Tuesday to you, the 10th day of March. Not nearly as sunny and beautiful as yesterday, and there's some questionable weather on the way. We will stay on top of that along the way with the team, the team, the team. Mike Parsons, our executive producer. Danielle Mason, who is once again training Abby Pelkey. I learned the good news today that Abby Pelkey is a fellow Wolverine. Yay! Go Blue! We're surrounded by Michigan State grads. Just want you to know that, Abby. And we are the proud station of Michigan State. No question about it. Happily so. But we did go to University of Michigan. And Rich Lusinski is here, keeping an eye on WJR traffic and weather. First, we appreciate that while you stream us, podcast us, come back later, WJR.com. That always matters. Get the free WJR app. And right now you can even watch us if you're in a position to do so with the Facebook and YouTube pages, live video streaming right now. Relentless positive radio. Well, you're on your way to making each and every day count because you know each day is a gift. We all need to be reminded, myself included. QTR, too. Quality time remaining. Who knows how much we have. And thank you for choosing to be a part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. You do that when you listen to WJR. Happy birthday, Nolan Finley.
Oh.
I called and wished Nolan Finley a birthday greeting 10 days ago by mistake.
I was going to say, you just wanted to beat the crowd.
That's a good way to put it. I should have said that. But my phone, every time I download the latest fix from Apple, my phone goes berserk. I mean berserk. I lose people. Things get lost about people. I keep track of everything in that phone. What did we do before we had those phones? I couldn't drive anywhere without that phone. Because I use the GPS. Now I hear the GPS is going bad or something. Have you heard anything about that?
Like no.
It's old. It's old-fashioned. And I don't know.
Just as I let my guard down and start trusting the robots, they finally turn on us.
Yes. Well, we better get used to it. Meanwhile, the breaking news we just heard was that the shooting at the U.S. consulate in Toronto. Multiple shots. It is a fortified building. Nobody was hurt. The officer being interviewed at the scene said the people in the building probably didn't even know anything was happening.
Wow.
Which is a pretty fortified building. But what we need to say out loud here, Dems, Democrats, fund the Department of Homeland Security before there is a tragedy here, like one that almost occurred in New York when these guys, two teenagers, threw a bomb at Gracie Mansion that did not explode, thankfully. They were ISIS followers. They were people that we don't want in this country. But we don't want people going to the airport, going through what they're going through right now. And the major media won't say it. The mainstream institutional media. It is solely because TSA and our overall security is funded and run by the Department of Homeland Security, which the Democrats won't fund because they hate the president. They did not like the woman in charge. She was fired. That didn't change anything, apparently. And all they're being asked to do is sign off on a bipartisan extension that they all agreed upon in the past. But they think this is the best way to get back at the president and at Republicans. And it's all about power and elections coming up. And they don't give a damn about the people they're supposed to be representing, or they wouldn't make you stand in those lines at the airport like you're going to have to, or any of the other things you're going through. So call your Democrat representative and say, just sign the bill that you already agreed to in a bipartisan way, please. Well, you know, part of my job, unfortunately, I thought about avoiding this altogether. Well, no, not this one. I'll tell you real quick. You know how they're talking about gas, how high it's going? My goodness, it's almost as high as it was when Joe Biden was president. Have you heard one national media person say that? I have not. And I watch all of the newscasts, which make me sick to my stomach, because none of the three major, ABC, CBS, NBC, ever have said, oh, by the way, it was even higher during the reign of Joe Biden. He probably didn't know that, but it was over $5 June of 2022. And yes, he was the president then. So it's just astonishing how they talk about these things. So here's the story I almost kept to myself. There's no way you could guess what this story is, Mike.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
We know, and we should be happy, that Nathan Martin from Michigan won the 2026 Los Angeles Marathon. It was just two days ago, March 8th. You saw if you watched the news, you saw the Kenyan runner looking like he was going to win, and charging up was this fabulous Michiganian, Nathan Martin, to win by 0.01 seconds.
Oh, yeah, I did see
you saw the guy fall, right?
Yeah, and the woman doing the play-by-play was just going nuts.
All of the people were going nuts. In fact, so were the people who follow these races, which I do not. But a lot of people were wondering. Many fans questioned this Michael Kimani Kamu coming in second. Well, there's, unfortunately, as my friend Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. And that story is that with only about 2 minutes left in the race, the Kenyan runner, Kamu, was in the lead, but was forced to avoid a spectator who had run onto the course.
Oh, no.
This caused him to veer right, and confused at that moment, he's following the lead car, pace car. Now, people blame the pace car for going off the route by mistake again, like it happened at the women's half marathon
right,
in Atlanta.
I remember that.
But this was not a mistake. This is the exit area where the pace car was supposed to go off the track. But this guy was confused. He had to dodge a guy on the course. He went the wrong way.
Oh, no.
So he then, after a moment, realized he was going the wrong path. Then he went back on the path. And let's face it, friends, he would have won had he not gone off the path and had to run back and on the path, because our American, our Michiganian, Michigander only beat him by 0.01 seconds.
Well,
that is unfortunately the rest of the story.
Yeah. Well, if there's someone to benefit from misfortune like that, I'm glad they were from Michigan. But yeah, that's that's heartbreaking.
That's a way to pull the silver lining out. Who cares about the Kenyan anyway? In the end, it will only look like a win for the Michigander.
That's right.
In the record book, the history book.
No, that is devastating, though.
But that is the rest of the story. And no one's talking about that either. And I'm sorry, but I observed it. I saw it and I went, wait a minute. Wait, I thought they said he went off course for something. Somebody jumped out in front of him. Something happened. He was off the course, then came back on. Well, that certainly cost him more than 0.01 seconds. And like I say, I'm an observer. So that's what I observed, and I looked into it, and that was the rest of the story, as the late, great Paul Harvey would say.
Page two. Remember that?
Yeah, remember it. I did it. I filled in for him, and I got to do all that. It was phenomenal. And he is, he's never been replaced. By, oh, my goodness gracious. That was an era in radio that just isn't there anymore, I guess. All right. It is 12:14. It's Relentless Positive Radio, and we have a lot of it for you today. That is a fact. The president saying the war might be over soon in Iran? Well, we'll get into that, too. Coming up next here, it's Focused with Paul W. Smith right here on WJR. Good job, Kevin, coming up on that, I mean, Ryan, coming up on that, given that most Americans don't see what the problem is about showing ID to vote when we have to show ID to do anything and everything else. Even the communist in New York said people wanted to help shovel snow had to have two pieces of identification. I still don't know why that is the case. Jonathan Savage is here, which means we're going to have some good, clear information from our great Fox News correspondent and WJR contributor. Jonathan, always a pleasure.
Always putting the pressure on me, aren't you? Good to talk to you again.
I call it like I see it, and you've never let us down. I'm not sure what the president's thinking when he does things like this, but this isn't the first time. Apparently, in a phone interview with CBS News yesterday afternoon, President Trump said the U.S. war with Iran could almost be over.
Yes, he said the war is very complete, pretty much, and that the U.S. was far ahead of schedule. The Israelis also say things were ahead of schedule. He made a number of remarks yesterday to President Trump. He did a number of interviews. He told Republican lawmakers that this was a short-term military operation. He went on to say, we've already won in many ways, but we haven't won enough. That might suggest things are going to go on a little bit longer. And also on Truth Social, he warned that death, fire, and fury will rain upon Iran if it stops the flow of oil through the Strait of Hormuz. Again, perhaps suggesting that he's willing to keep going depending on how events unfold. We should also remind ourselves that War Secretary Pete Hegseth promised that things were only just beginning on Friday in another CBS interview, although today Secretary Hegseth said it's the president whose foot is on the throttle. So I think that it's fair to say that President Trump would like things to end pretty quickly. However, it's not entirely clear how close they really are to that happening, especially now there's a new supreme leader in Iran who, by all accounts, all the evidence is pointing to him being at least as hardline as his father.
Jonathan, think of this. We have heard that he was at least as hardline as his father. But now look where he is. He lost his wife, his mother, his father. I'm not sure who. He lost a lot of people so far. He's not going to say, oh, well, I think I'll just throw in the towel now. This guy's in it till he's dead. And I don't know why anyone isn't saying it, because maybe they're not supposed to say something like that. But don't you agree that if he was a hardliner before this, now he's untouchable?
He also lost a son, Mojtaba Khamenei, and he was known, as much as he was known, which wasn't very much, for being very closely linked to the Revolutionary Guard, which is the internal security force that suppresses dissent with an iron fist, also close to the spy network, the intelligence agencies of Iran. He knows all about the deep state there. He knows about confronting external and internal threats, does the new supreme leader. And bear in mind that the role of supreme leader is actually meant to be a religious one in this theocracy. There's a lot more to him than just as a religious leader. So, yes, he you talk about, you know, he's there for life. This is meant to be a job for life. You're meant to do it until you die. He's only the third supreme leader Iran has had since the Islamic Revolution in 1979. But President Trump warns that the 56-year-old won't last long. And Israel's defense minister, Israel Katz, calling him an unequivocal target as well. Paul, it's no surprise that we haven't seen him. He's not made any public appearance or comment or statement, certainly not sticking his head above the parapet at this point. He was in the shadows before he was the supreme leader. He never gave an interview or public speech then, very few photos or videos. We may not see him for some time. There are reports actually he was injured. Secretary Hegseth was unable to confirm those reports. So there's so little that we know about his status or his goals, his identity, his philosophy, other than putting together the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle, as you and I have been doing.
You know, I think you alluded to this. Maybe it came right out and said it. Jonathan Savage, Fox News correspondent, WJR contributor. This guy, and I'm not even going to try to say his name because it's inconsequential to me and he won't be around long enough for it to matter, but this son of the second Khomeini is said to be at the heart of the thousands of their fellow people, the Iranians that were slaughtered by Iran. He was said to be basically in charge of that. Have you heard that?
He certainly would be very high up, very well connected, and he would certainly know all about what was happening based on what we know of him. He didn't have a political title, but everybody who knows about Iran would know that he was very well connected to the security forces. So, that is why we're hearing people in Iran saying he's going to be worse than his dad. And the celebrations that we saw from people after the death of his father, Ali Khamenei, we've also seen people shouting out of windows, death to Mojtaba. So, you know, they're not celebrating his ascension the way they celebrated his father's death. Now, on state TV, they have shown videos of people celebrating his appointment in the streets. Some of these will be organized by the state, and there will be a minority of people in Iran who are full-throated behind the Islamic Republic as they have it. But, you know, this is someone who is not likely to change or make things any freer for the people of Iran.
I'm still stunned, Jonathan, that we haven't seen more women, noticeably the Squad and Democrats in general, stand up for the fact that women, for the first time in 47 years in Iran, have the potential opportunity to actually be treated like human beings again. You would think that would grab their attention and they'd be all for that, but I haven't heard a thing from the outstanding Democrat women who are always outstanding talking about other issues.
Look, I can't talk to American politics. I'm not best placed to talk about that, but I can talk about how the role of women is being highlighted right now by the Iranian women's soccer team in Australia playing in an Asian Cup tournament. They've just played their final match of that tournament, and their participation has been very much in the spotlight because of how they responded in their first game, refusing to sing the national anthem.
Their national anthem. They refused to sing the Iranian national anthem, so you know where they stand.
And then in other games, they were singing some of them and saluting. The crowd who were there to see them, the Iranian fans who were there to see them, were smuggled in the flag of the old Iranian nation rather than the current flag. And it would appear that the women on the team bus, the coach, were giving SOS hand signals through the window. Okay. Now, five of them have been granted asylum in Australia. The rest were offered. Some have decided that they want to go home because they're worried about reprisals on their family. Were they to stay in Australia? There was a horrible sight of one being dragged by her collar onto the team bus, and people have been were standing protesters out in front of the bus trying to stop it from leaving. So, you know, this is all going to put the plight of Iranian women in the spotlight. And yeah, let's see who stands up for them and who calls that out.
Very good point. I hadn't seen any of that, and I really appreciate you pointing that out. Like I said at the beginning of our conversation, we're going to get a great report from our Fox News correspondent and WJR contributor extraordinaire, Jonathan Savage. See, my buildup wasn't too big. You delivered.
Yeah, I tend to do well under pressure. Let's put it that way.
You always do a good job. Be careful out there, and thanks, Jonathan.
Take care, Paul. Good to speak to you.
Nice to speak with you. 12:28 at 760 WJR. There are so many things we need to talk about, but there are so many other things that come up strong. How homeowners can protect themselves from deed fraud. These are the things I carry around every day and discuss with Mike, my executive producer. Americans want voter ID. Why don't the Democrats? That's from Ingrid Jacques, USA Today. The great coffee tea debate. I drink them both, not as much tea as I should. And experts tout benefits of house burping, which I had to ask Mike about, but apparently I'm already doing that, but I never called it house burping. I just air out the house when it's nice.
I need to find a house burping expert.
I kind of hope there isn't one. Because all you do is open your windows, open your doors, whatever. I opened my doors yesterday with screens and let the flow go through the house.
Right.
Well, anyway, I'm sure Andy Arena is going, wait, did I call the right show? Where am I? Andy, you're at the right place. Andy is the director of the Detroit Crime Commission, former special agent in charge of the FBI Detroit office. And he's on the line right now. Andy, it's always a pleasure, sir.
Paul, good afternoon.
You are, among other things, going to talk with us about these two teenagers charged with trying to set off a bomb outside the home of the New York City mayor, Zoran Mamdani. Now, early on, Mamdani was saying this is a white supremacist, but he was talking about the people out front who were, there was too many things going on. One was people out front protesting Islam or something, and then these guys who helped them with their cause because they're ISIS believers, and they tried to bomb the home of the New York City mayor, who really would be kind of friendly with them, kind of thing, I think, you know?
Yeah, Paul, you got to be, I always say this, you got to be careful with the first comments you make when something like this happens, because, you know, the facts you're usually presented with initially are not true, right? Or there's some nuances to it. So I think that, you know, you just got to kind of wait and see what really this plays out. But, you know, Paul, when we've talked about this before, it goes back to, you know, you get disenfranchised kids, young kids sitting in their parents' basement playing video games, looking for a place to be, looking for a place to fit in. And, you know, you get these groups like ISIS that who are really adept at using social media to recruit, right, and to really get these kids, you know, rationalizing their brain that, hey, this is a good thing to do. And, you know, so I think really what it highlights is, you know, that these people are out there and that the threat is still very, very real. So something that, you know, hopefully we're keeping an eye on.
It's sad that the mayor, Comrade Mamdani, was so quick to say, oh, white supremacists. I mean, you're absolutely right. He should wait. Maybe he'll learn. Maybe he never will learn. Here's something that I thought was fascinating, and I need Andy Arena's attention on this, given his background. Currently the director of the Detroit Crime Commission, former special agent in charge of the FBI office here in Detroit. So here it is. Wondered if you noticed this. Within minutes of all this happening, and these two kids being arrested, did you notice that one of them had a lawyer already speaking on his behalf and insisting he'd never been in any kind of trouble before? If that's true, why did he have a lawyer?
Well, you know, Paul, I'm an attorney by trade, and all my good friends out there that are defense attorneys, you know, I'm sure Mr. Flood will be calling you here in a moment. But, you know, I mean, that's defense 101, right? My client is a fool. He's a young child. He's a kid.
But how did he get there? How was he there so quickly if this guy had not already hired him as his attorney, or somebody had hired him as his attorney?
It could be just these guys lurk, right? They're out there. They pounce on these types of things. But it's just interesting to me is they put that defense out there, right? He's just a kid. He doesn't know any better. You know, that's a defense. It's not a good one. And
but you don't see it. I guess it's just me, cynical, I guess, that a guy could be standing out on the street that quickly representing one of these kids. I don't have a lawyer that I would have that would show up and be representing me like that quickly. Most of us don't.
Well, you know, it's most of us don't. In that, you know, like I said, there's this possible different explanations, and I don't think you'd be a cynical. I think that is certainly a very real possibility. You know, like I say, the other possibility is these guys are just out there lurking about, right? You know, maybe
you mean
they're
trolling.
Watching this.
The guy's trolling for business.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to disparage my brothers and the brothers and sisters in the legal profession, but it does happen. So, you know, I don't think you're being cynical, Paul, but, you know, I just think I think it'll all come out in the wash, but I think that, you know, there are certainly two or three different possible explanations. And so don't be hard on yourself. You're not being cynical.
All right. So now we also have this morning's news that several gunshots at the U.S. consulate in Toronto, multiple shots. It was a fortified building, which is amazing, and I'm glad even in Canada they fortify our consulates. But this is, I'm afraid, the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, now this is the second, since military action started in Iran, this is the second attack on a U.S. Embassy or consulate. We had the one in Norway a couple of days ago. So, hopefully, we don't start to get the copycats or people inspired by what's going on or sleeper cells, But yeah, we're going to have to keep a real close look at our consulates and embassies.
Why, which is one of the reasons I think it's extremely important for Democrats to fund the Department of Homeland Security now more than ever. Forget about it. I mean, it's terrible what the TSA guys are going through, the guys and gals of TSA not getting paid. Airports are feeling it. But overall security of our country, and this is just a something they already, in a bipartisan way, all agreed to. They're just doing this because they believe it makes Trump look bad. Well, if anybody would tell the truth, and I don't expect the institutional media to do that, they're the ones that should look bad. But you didn't hear that once in any of the stories on the three major networks yesterday, that all of this was happening because the Dems wouldn't just go ahead with something they already agreed to. And they also never said anything like, oh, my goodness gracious, gas prices are getting closer to where President Joe Biden had them. Nobody said that. And that's the truth. If you go back to March and June of 2022, when it was over $5 a gallon, we live in a world, Andy, that is sadly misinformed by the people we have depended on most all of our lives to tell us the truth of what was going on.
Well, Paul, you and I have been talking for many years, and you've heard me say it 100 times, right? The national security of this country is not a political football to be kicked around. We still don't understand that in Washington. That's a shame.
It is a shame. Maybe we need to send Andy to Washington.
I'm too old for that, but yeah, thank you. Paul, what did I ever do to you? Come on.
All right, I would not sentence that on you or force that on you at any time or anybody else that I respect. Andy Arena, thanks much.
All right, thank you, Paul.
Andy Arena, director of the Detroit Crime Commission, former special agent in charge of the FBI office here in Detroit, and an all-round straight-shooting great guy. And he's been with us for years, and we appreciate that. And we appreciate all of the local FBI agents. We never had trouble with local FBI agents. It was at the leadership in Washington that got jammed up. Anyway, it's 1244 at WJR. Well, even Fox is using footage from November 11th in Portland, Oregon, where they're talking about the stormtroopers, also known as ICE. And I think it should be changed to the national organization so they could be called NICE. But be that as it may, using pepper spray on quote-unquote peaceful protesters. They got out of hand. They thought they could be bullies like some of their leaders. So, but that's November. That's not happening anymore. Anyway, the Michigan Defense Expo, MDEX, Michigan's premier defense and advanced manufacturing event, is entering a new chapter this year. It will co-locate with Exponential at Huntington Place, downtown Detroit. And together, the co-located events will be known as MDEXX Exponential 2026. If you're confused, imagine how confused I am. But the good news is, because Mike Parsons knows that this is important to our area. We have TACOM, we have Selfridge, you understand. But we now have retired Lieutenant Colonel Misty Martin, who is the event chair for the Michigan Defense Expo, and here to tell us what this is all about. Lieutenant Martin, thank you for your service, and thank you for joining Paul W. Smith in Focus.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. Can you explain in terms that even I can understand what this is all about?
I would be happy to. So the Michigan Defense Expo, this is our 17th year, but as you so eloquently stated, we are co-hosting in Detroit this year with Exponential. Exponential is a yearly gathering of global leaders and end users in the uncrewed system and the robotics industry. But because Detroit shows where, autonomy can be put to work, where we know what manufacturing is, they chose Detroit to host this year's Exponential show and asked those of us from MDEX to be that co-host with them. So we're really excited Our role as the host for it is functional, not just symbolic. And we want to show them that as autonomy moves into its execution phase from prototypes or just from great ideas to actual production, that here in Michigan is the place that really understands that piece and that manufacturing and defense and logistics. So we're excited to co-host with Exponential and show that shift from experimentation in the defense world to actual industrialization. And what we'll do is we will have those right Army organizations, Space Force organizations, and Air Force here that are responsible for the ground combat systems briefing and explaining what opportunities are coming to industry.
I must tell you, Lieutenant Colonel Misty Martin, event chair for the Michigan Defense Expo, in reading up on our little conversation here, this is economic development, this is defense readiness, this is advanced manufacturing at scale. And what really caught my attention is that we're looking at robotics and uncrewed systems across air, land, and maritime domains in a rotating global platform. And that means, I mean, just what I just read, means fewer American men and women, young men and women, being put in harm's way when we can come up with robotics and uncrewed systems across air, land, and maritime domains. That's a big deal, and I embrace it.
It is, and it's a great, you know, it's a great thing. Anytime that we can keep our, you know, our men and women serving safe is a win for everybody. And you're right, the state's defense sector, our expertise in our ground vehicle technology here in Michigan and its automotive heritage leverage is exponential, right? So it's great. The ground system,
as they say,
you know, here in Michigan, yeah. here in ground systems, our aerospace in Michigan, we have over 900 aerospace-related companies. We have more military vehicles produced in Michigan than any other state. And then, like you mentioned, maritime. We just started the Michigan Maritime Manufacturing Initiative in 2024. So, I mean, there's not anything we don't do when it comes to defense here.
Is there anything else we need to know about the event? Like, is everybody invited, or is this a closed kind of gathering? Tell me that.
Yes, yeah, so you can go online, and you do have to register. It's May 12th through the 14th. And like I said, if you want to hear from the global leaders and then those key organizations that are responsible for the ground combat systems and logistics support systems here, that is, you know, the people I think that will benefit the most from it. But everybody is welcome.
What online? Where do they go? Exponential.org? Or is there something else?
So
MDX?
Yes, to register.
Yes.
I'm sorry, do you have it? Or you?
Well, I don't know. I have a couple of them. You give it. If you don't have it,
okay.
I have
MDEX. No, 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 I have it. It's MDEX-NDIA.com.
All right, that's one of the ones I have. That's good.
Yes, MDEX-NDIA.com.
All right, and it is May 12th through the 14th, and you have to register to go. All right, we have very little time, but in 30 seconds or less, tell me about you, Lieutenant Colonel Misty Martin. As they would say in the old days, what's a girl like you doing in a position like this?
Well, it was my honor to serve. Like you said, I served for 21 years, and there was nothing besides being the mom of my two sons that brought me more joy. So I truly enjoyed it. And this is my way, chairing MDEX is my way to continue to give back to those still serving.
God bless you. And 21 years, I didn't know that long. God bless you for your incredible service, and you continue to serve all of us. Retired Lieutenant Colonel Misty Martin, the event chair for the Michigan Defense Expo. Go to MDEX-NDIA.com for more information. Thank you, ma'am, very much. God bless you.
Thank you again for having me on. I appreciate it.
It's our pleasure. We continue on WJR. Well, there we see it again. Hegseth saying this will be the most intense bombing that we've done so far. It's been pretty intense. U.S. striking Iranian mine-laying vessels. Breaking news. Well, that's what we have. if there's anything that happens that we should grab it and have it on air live, Mike Parsons will make that decision. He can monitor it a little better than I can here. I can't turn the sound up in here. But we've got the team here. Mike Parsons, our executive producer, Danielle Mason in training mode. Abby Pelkey, a fellow Wolverine. Now, if you're watching us, because we do this now on our Facebook and YouTube pages, live video that's streaming now. Sadly, Abby is below the focus sign.
It's mysterious. It's like
it's
Wilson.
Like just her eyes are showing.
The neighbor from
there
Home
she
Improvement.
Is.
Oh, there's the face reveal.
There we go. She has a face. And she proudly is a U of M grad. And that might be a little bit of a U of M swag that she's got on her jacket. And I have that under my sweater. Clandestine-like. Are you having fun, Abby? Are you enjoying yourself? Or will you never want to do this again?
No, I'm having a good time, Paul.
Okay, good.
Would you tell us if you weren't?
Yeah, she would. I think she would. I think she's a strong woman, and she would say, you know, it's not exactly what I hoped it would be. But you keep up the good work. You're learning at the hands of a great, great, very talented, we call her Queen of the Switches, actually. That's Danielle throwing all the right switches. Rich Luzinski keeping track, too, of our WJR traffic and weather first, doing a nice job with that. Whether you're streaming us or if you come back and podcast us, at WJR.com. Get the free WJR app as well. And we're sandwiched beautifully for our show. After you get your daily dose of Dietz, I'll talk with Kevin Dietz, then us, and then JR Afternoon with Ryan Armani coming up. And you know he's got a great program coming up. Yeah, did I say it was Nolan Finley's birthday? Yes.
Yes, but it bears repeating.
It's Nolan Finley's birthday. Happy birthday, Nolan.
Buy him a bourbon if you see him.
If you see him, he would like a nice bourbon. The news of the day has been the attack on the U.S. consulate in Toronto. Multiple shots. It's a very secure building. Nobody hurt, thank goodness. They might not have even known what was going on. The other news of the day is that we're seeing that they're stepping up the bombing of Iran. The other news of the day is the Democrats still won't fund the Department of Homeland Security, which is why when you go to the airport, and no one's telling you this from the institutional media, but that's the reason TSA is so backed up. These poor guys aren't getting paid, these men and women. Some of them aren't showing up because they have to work other jobs. They have bills to pay, and they should be being paid, and it is the Democrats who are keeping them from being paid. In fact, the Democrats are vowing to shut down the Senate now. Altogether, you know, as I just wish the news media would report the stories as they really are. Like, for example, when the gas prices go up, they're almost as high as they were in 2022 when Joe Biden was president. But no one will say that. This president brought the gas prices down. And the other day, it was up 50 cents in a week. It's never happened before because they were never that low before. So they had a lot higher to go. All of that aside, do we have a weather issue? Metro Detroit weather, severe storms possible tonight into Wednesday. What do you know about that, Mike?
Yeah.
And what can you do to prevent that?
Move south? I don't know. But, yeah, obviously it's been very warm the last couple days. And later on the week, it's supposed to cool down quickly. And so we may be seeing flooding rains, we might be seeing some hail, and high winds, and they say it's possible that a tornado could break out. Just giving us a heads up here. And it seems like storm season is starting earlier and earlier. We're barely out of February right now.
Everybody's sensitive about the storm season. Obviously, after we went through what we went through this past weekend, in fact, State Representative Jennifer Wartz, with the district representing Union City, is going to join us as our first guest this half hour. And she'll tell us how they're all doing and maybe, too, how we might be able to help. Taking our minds off that for a second, so the Lions land free agent center Cade Mays. You're my sports guy. Is he good?
He's ranked, like, kind of right there in the middle. It's an upgrade over the kind of center by committee and moving people from other positions that we had last year. We're not quite back to Ragnow levels, yeah. But
those are big levels.
Yeah, it's an upgrade over last season, and hopefully they can coach him up and bring him into the Lions culture, and he'll have a successful season. But I'm glad they're addressing the offensive line.
So we saw that Kelce is staying. He's going to play another year.
Yeah,
like a 1-year contract.
Yeah, and maybe he's staying because the Chiefs signed Kenneth Walker III, the former MSU great who won the Super Bowl MVP with Seattle this year.
He was fabulous.
Yeah.
He was fabulous. I can't believe the Seahawks couldn't hang on to him.
Yeah, and, you know, there's this kind of consensus in the NFL right now that people don't want to pay big money for running backs because a lot of teams like the Lions had with Gibbs and Montgomery have kind of a two-headed rushing attack, and, of course, careers for running backs in the NFL aren't very long. So it sounded like Seattle didn't want to shell out that money. They have Charbonneau who was injured for the Super Bowl. And look, the Chiefs had a down year, and now they're going to get better. And Patrick Mahomes finally has a running back, and he probably needs that because his safety blanket, Travis Kelce, isn't as reliable as he used to be. So the Chiefs are looking to retool and get back to where they were.
My old teacher in high school at Monroe Catholic Central High School, which is now St. Mary's Catholic Central there in Monroe, Tom Romer, my old teacher, who I hope we'll see at the St. Patrick's Day party. I don't know. He called me, and I haven't called him back, and I don't know if it was about this, but what a story. The Ohio State president, Ted Carter, resigning over an inappropriate relationship with staff. There's like a pandemic of men not being able to control themselves.
Yeah, and is it lack of self-control or is it arrogance, thinking that they're so powerful that they're never going to face consequences? But it seems like there's a lot of powerful men willing to throw it away. I mean, look at Sharon Moore, for an inappropriate relationship, quote unquote.
And now Sharon Moore's ex-assistant wants, quote, accountability from U of M, says her lawyer, meaning a lawyer went to her and said, I'm just guessing, this is not a fact, I'm just guessing. You know, when you sue somebody, you go with the people with the deepest pockets. That's what they call it, the deepest pockets.
Right.
And U of M has deep pockets, deeper pockets than Sharon Moore. So she wants accountability from U of M. I'm not sure even what that means.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, up from what I know, up until the night Sharon Moore was fired and he broke into her apartment, from what I understand, this was consensual. I know that there was a power imbalance, obviously, because yeah. Sharon Moore was her. But from what
gave I gave her a big raise from yeah. like, I,
unless there's something we don't know, it sounded like it was consensual at the time.
Yeah. Hey, did we find out why JetBlue requested all of their flights to be grounded?
No, that's still a big mystery.
Why would they have to request that from the FAA? Why wouldn't they just say, we're going to ground all our flights if they had a problem?
Yeah,
or something?
It sounds like a decision they can make on their own.
So there's something behind that I still don't know. Maybe we'll get to the bottom of it. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, tomorrow, maybe we'll reach out to our air travel guy because, you know, we've got the TSA mess. We've got what happened with JetBlue today. Sounds like it'd be a good day to talk to him tomorrow.
Yeah,
if he's
good
available.
Day to talk. And then finally, this is for now a couple days old, but the president saying he will, quote, not sign other bills until the Save America Act is passed. I mean, it's not a surprise. He's been kind of saying this, I think, a couple of days now. So we'll find out about that as well. We're underway. It's Focus with Paul W. Smith, relentless positive radio with the team, the team, the team. And you are a very important part of this gathering. We thank you for choosing to be a part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. Coming up, State Representative Jennifer Wartz, representing Union City. We'll find out how they're doing and maybe what we can do to help them. Stay with us and focus on WJR. Thank you, Jamie, for that. And the whole morning crew, I've been looking at this whole raw milk thing, and I don't get it. I really don't. So I'm glad that JR Mornings will be tackling that tomorrow. I don't know. Is raw milk important to you, Michael? I don't understand what the big deal is here.
No, I can't drink milk anymore. But back when I did, I don't think I would like to drink it raw. No,
I think pasteurization is there to make things safer, I thought. So I don't. I'm not going to enter into the argument, but I will be listening tomorrow for the JR Mornings on that whole raw milk thing. Crazy. All right, on to what we're doing here. From the front page of the Detroit News today, the great Detroit News, and above the fold, tornado galvanizes Union City and the neighbors. Community of Sherwood aids cleanup after living through similar storm in 2024. Dateline Union City, in a story written by Carol Thompson. Donna Clark was armed with a zippered bag full of gift cards and $50 bills on Monday as she made her way along Tuttle Park Drive, an area hit hardest by the EF3 tornado with 160-mile-per-hour winds that swept through southwest Michigan on Friday. As she walked past the brush littered with home insulation, pieces of broken plywood, and torn siding, Clark stopped passersby to ask two questions. First, were you impacted by the storm? Second, what do you need? That's kind of what we're talking about right now, and we thank State Representative, the Republican from the 35th District, representing Union City, Representative Jennifer Wartz, just how the recovery effort is going. Representative Wartz, welcome to Focus with Paul W. Smith. It is a pleasure and an honor to welcome you to the show.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for having me and for bringing awareness to the needs in my community.
Well, you'll notice, you've already noticed, and I've noticed in all my years, because I'm probably significantly older than you, that this kind of tragic situation brings out the best in our neighbors and our Michigan family. We have the most generous people in all of the world, within the sound of my voice here. So I'm going to guess that the cleanup and the recovery efforts are intensifying in Branch County, and that mostly you have good, positive news for us.
Yes, very much so. I mean, to your point, I was in Union City Saturday and Sunday, and to see how quickly our crisis response team within the county mobilized through our sheriff's department and our emergency management responder and coordinated with, you know, the immediate kind of crisis there and locating victims to the school there in Union City and the plan that they had in place for disaster relief when it hit. And by 3 o'clock on Saturday, they had to put a sign up that they weren't taking any more donations because they had just been so overwhelmed with the support and the outpouring of care and people that want to give back. And if you've listened at all to some of the press conferences that Tim Miner, our emergency response coordinator, has given, we have been so very thankful. But at the same time, we also would ask that people would be respectful. Sunday afternoon was the first time that the people most severely impacted were even able to return to their own properties and see the devastation and see the loss. And we're asking for some time there for them to be able to process and work with their insurance agencies. And then in the next few days, cleanup will begin. And there's some real specific ways and organizations that people can get involved if they want to do so to help with that.
That's my next question, but a quick mention that we're with State Representative, the Republican from the 35th District, representing Union City, Representative Jennifer Wartz. And as you pointed out, you were there right away. And the residents say that strangers and volunteers quickly arrived with chainsaws, heavy machinery, supplies to help remove the fallen trees, to clear the debris. Utility crews, plumbers, telecommunications workers from nearby cities and townships have also been working to restore services. And two points back to what you were saying. we did say Monday, as soon as we were on the air, that people were being asked not to come to the area that don't belong there. And a lot of people were kind of coming because they were curious. I'm sure there were people that were coming to help, but a lot of people just wanted to see. And that's not something that you need. So the question then, and you started to give us an answer, and I want to give you all the time you need for that answer. What can we do to help?
Yeah, great question. Well, I would say right now, first and foremost, our community is going to need financial support. It was estimated on Sunday, and this is a lowball number, that we're going to need $50,000 in dumpsters for cleanup as we begin removing the debris and rubble there just off Tuttle Road. Also, just physical help with cleanup, and there's a couple different organizations organizing that in ways that you can give. American Red Cross you can give to financially, our local Branch County Victim Service Unit. You can call them at 517-278-3091. And then Samaritan's Purse, if you go to spvolunteer.org, they've already started to organize help with the Southwest Michigan Tornado Response Teams. They are another organization that does this day in and day out around the country. And we are so blessed that they are coming and going to help and volunteer in our own community.
So let me, because it's hard, some people listening while they're driving, and it's always going to be difficult to get while you're driving, but you can, when you get where you're going, you can look up the local chapter of the American Red Cross. The victim services number that the representative just shared with us, 517-278-3091, 517-278-3091. And I think it was Billy Graham that started Samaritan's Purse. And I think if I have the right organization now, his son has taken over. So we know that these are trustworthy organizations. And I hate to say it, but unfortunately, at a time like this, when I opened up our conversation with "This brings out the best in people," unfortunately, some of the bad people out there also rise or sink to the occasion. So you got to be careful. The American Red Cross, Victim Services, 517-278-3091, 517-278-3091, or Samaritan's Purse, and Billy Graham's son and the Graham family. They've been doing that for a long time, and as far as I know, completely trustworthy. Anything else, Representative Wartz, we need to know?
Yeah, I would just say as well, there's also, with AI and technology today, a lot of false pictures filtering around out there. You might have saw one yesterday that somebody posted with a boat in a tree. We have not seen a boat in a tree anywhere or a vehicle in a tree. There's a lot of twisted up boats and destroyed vehicles. But it was in reference to a statement the governor brought up on Monday, and I would just like to say, in communicating with our local boots on the ground, most of the people in that area did get an alert on their phone. There have been now some reports that have come out that a few did not. And so we are going to be, you know, looking into that and confirming that. Unfortunately, this storm shifted really fast. And it's easy to play Monday morning quarterback and place blame on someone, but to use this as a political talking point right now is quite offensive to me and to this community that's grieving three people who died. Really, it's a miracle that no more than three people died. Fox News has done some great reporting and interviews on the ground of survivors' testimonies and how they anticipated most of their neighbors to be dead, and most of them walked away. And so I would just encourage people, let's celebrate that. Let's not start pointing fingers and placing blame right now. There will be a time and a place to see how could we have handled this differently. But right now, this community and these people are grieving, and I just would ask that you would respect that.
God bless you. That was just, we should record that and use that often. That's the perfect way to look at this, and God bless the people in the Union City area who are taking the high road and understanding this isn't the time to be pointing fingers or turning something political. There'll be plenty of time for that. This is the time to help each other. And somebody, what sick mind would use AI to make things look worse than they are in an already horrible situation by putting a boat in a tree? What is wrong with these people?
I don't know, but it's quite disgusting and really disparaging. And as I've said, people are grieving enough. We don't need to add insult to injury here. So,
well put.
Please, and I thank so many of you who have come alongside. You know, that's the few of the majority. There was a beautiful prayer service Sunday night in Union City, spontaneously organized in less than 24 hours. A high school student that gave a phenomenal prayer and asked everyone to just bow and pray and be thankful amidst the hard and come together. And what that should be the example we're following. And that was from a 17-year-old junior in high school.
Wow. That's powerful. Thank you, Representative. And aren't you lucky there having this person represent you in Union City, the 35th District, the Republican State Representative, Jennifer Wartz. Thank you, Representative Wartz. What a pleasure and privilege having you on.
Thank you, Paul. And I just want to tell you, my parents love listening to your show. Have a blessed day.
You know, we got plenty of parents and grandparents, and I love them all, but we need some of their kids to listen to, Jennifer.
Yeah, well, I'm now going to be, well, most, I'm actually walking into session now. Otherwise, I would, but I will try on my off day. So
I know it's hard.
Bless you and thank you.
I know it's hard, noon to two. God bless you. Thank you so much for your work, and thanks. Be sure to thank Mom and Dad for me, will you?
I will do that. Thank you.
Thank you. State Representative, the Republican from the 35th District, representing, well, Union City, Representative Jennifer Wartz. And I'm sure her parents are very proud of her good work as well. Heading toward 132, Paul W. here in Focus on WJR. Oddest bit of rejoiner music I think we have. I'm not complaining. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying it's odd. Could you turn that up just a little bit, Abby? Is that as loud as it goes? It sounds like it's like done by all machines, doesn't it? Maybe that's what it has. All right. We turn to Jay Young, founder and CEO, King Operating Corporation, author of The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing, contributing writer at Forbes and Kiplinger. And he's here to tell us what he thinks oil prices are doing or going or when this will end or anything else, Jay Young, you want to tell us. Hi, it's Paul.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are we doing?
Man, I tell you what, it's been a ride. We've been on a ride with these oil prices and what's going on down here. I mean, it was $67 a barrel, you know, come two Fridays ago, and all of a sudden it went up a lot. Obviously, it's 119, and now it's down to in the 80s, the high 80s, but it's in the 80s. And you know, what's going on is just, you know, a lot of uncertainty about what's going to happen with oil prices, and when President Trump comes out and says, "Hey, I'll tell you what, if you guys continue bombing tankers in the Strait of Hormuz, what's going to happen is I'm going to hit you 20 times harder." People listen.
Well, they don't take it lightly. Wait, let me catch up. We haven't had any bombed yet, have we?
No, but there's been some, you know.
There's been a lot of threats, yeah.
Yeah. And they're threatening, and Iran is saying, "Hey, yeah, that's what we're going to do." And they're afraid that this, you know, Ayatollah's son is going to come in and he's going to go, "Hey, well, I want to make a name for myself. Let's do something crazy." But I think,
well, he's got to go because, I mean, he'd lost a father, a wife, a mother, a son. I mean, he's got nothing to lose now.
Exactly. Exactly. And Trump said that, and I thought it was brilliant. What he said was, hey, any problem with this, and I'm going to hit you 20 times harder than you've ever been hit. And like I said, you can't take it lightly when he talks.
You know, it's funny to me, you don't know this, Jay Young, founder and CEO of King Operating Corporation, author of The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing. The funny part for me is how the mainstream media, the institutional media, has never said these words. Gee, oil's at $80 a barrel, right at about where it was when President Joe Biden was in office. Or that, when Joe Biden was in office in June of 2022, gas was over $5 a gallon. They've never said anything like that because they never made a big deal out of our president lowering gas prices. But, man, are they making a big deal out of the gas prices going up. And so far, they're only going up as high as they were when Biden was in office. Doesn't anyone see the hypocrisy here?
Yeah, no, they don't. I mean, people want to believe what they can, and they want to gripe where they can. And right now, it's all about Trump and the seven people that have given up their lives for our freedom and to do away with the Iranian regime and for us to live safer. I couldn't imagine what anybody else in office would have done or not done with all the information having in front of you. And President Trump does not mind acting. He does not mind acting and doing exactly what's in the best interest of our country. You know, so I think that is very, you know, I think it's just one of the best things that we could do is have our president in there and do what we're doing right now. And we're going to have, you know, independence, and we're going to have more freedom and, you know, obviously we're not going to be afraid of nuclear weapons.
And Jay Young,
I'm just thankful.
I'm just going to tell people, because I wouldn't have known this either, about King Operating Corporation. Founded in 1996, King Operating Corporation is an experienced independent oil and gas operating company with over 200 combined years of industry experience developing and producing oil and gas fields across several basins. You are committed to creating value for your investors by offering opportunities for tax advantages, monthly distributions, and a potential multiple on invested capital. Are people actively still investing in oil and gas?
Oh, 100%. They want those tax write-offs. They want the monthly income. And they want to read my book. And the reason is because they don't want a bad deal. People get involved in bad deals. They want to know somebody that knows what they're doing. Obviously, there's no guarantees, but they want a fair shot. You know, I mean, I know that some people that you can invest with here in town, in Dallas, you can invest in some of these people here in town. You'll never make money. I don't care if you hit a barrel or 1,000 barrels a day. You're not going to make any money because of the way the structure is. And our deal is different. Like I said, you've been in business since 1996. I'm a fourth generation oil and gas guy. I grew up in the business. I love the business. And our job and my drive every day is to let's do something for our shareholders and our people that, you know, fill out our website. I'll send you a free copy of my book called The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing. The second edition is going to come out in the next few months. I've changed up some things, but the big thing is oil prices may come down when the war is over, but they're not going to come down that much. And the reason why is because we're not drilling for oil and gas in the United States like we were before. We're not drilling like we were before. Number one. Number two, wells decline in production.
I thought we were drilling more than ever.
We're not in the last 3 years. We've shut that down. Rig count's down a lot. It's down a lot. We're producing about as much oil as we ever have. Well, it's starting to come down now, but we were producing as much as we ever have.
All right, contributing writer at Forbes and Kiplinger. You just heard about his book and his new one coming out, The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing. There'll be a part two to that. And you can get it if you go to the website. What's the website?
KingOperating.com. K-I-N-G, KingOperating.com.
KingOperating.com. King, K-I-N-G, KingOperating.com. Jay Young, founder and CEO of King Operating Corporation. Thanks for sharing your opinion and your expertise.
Absolutely. Anytime. Call me back anytime. Let's talk next week or the next week for an update. Always an update in the oil and gas space.
Okay.
Always new information.
I believe that, my friend. One day I'll tell you about my investment in an oil well a long time ago. It's not pretty, but we'll talk again. You take care. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It is
1:43 at WJR. As we continue in focus, you would expect us to talk about some of the great events that draw national attention to our area. There are so many of them now, I'm not even going to list them because for fear I'll miss one. But one that I won't miss and one that I know is so special is the Rocket Classic. And what a pleasure it is to welcome JR Sundays with Mark Hollis, the actual Mark Hollis, who also happens to be the Rocket Classic Tournament Director with a very special announcement today. First of all, Mark, welcome to Focus. Always a pleasure.
Well, thanks, Paul W. It's always great to be with you, whether it's on your show, Focus, or JR Sunday. And I look forward to this conversation.
It was my pleasure to be on your show, JR Sundays, not too long ago, Sundays 8 to 10, and produced by the one and only Dave Rieger, who apparently has two great jobs, as it turns out. We have the announcement of a couple of things. First of all, the continuation of a great event returning to the Detroit Golf Club for, I think it's got to be about its eighth consecutive year, July 30th through August 2nd, bringing the PGA Tour's top players back to Detroit, but also the announcement of when tickets will go on sale.
I love you doing your show because you are so well informed and you have all the information and that's out there, and thank you. But yes, we are planning to put tickets on sale right after the Masters, which is an ideal time, giving folks really turn their attention to professional golf and the PGA Tour. And a lot of the announcement comes from listening. And I think any time that you're running an event of this magnitude, the first thing you need to do is listen to the patrons, the hospitality participants. And we did. And we're lowering ticket prices, really going from one of the highest among the PGA Tour to one of the most affordable tickets on the PGA Tour, as low as $31.30 on Thursday, with part of this advance ticket purchase plan that will run through mid-June. And even on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you're going to have a great opportunity to come out to the beautiful Detroit Golf Club, enjoy it at a price. And it's not where we're going to stop, is just on pricing. We've really looked at the whole experience for patrons coming out, from the time they leave their home to the time they return, and how can we make the whole experience more enjoyable. So there'll be subsequent announcements coming out about a variety of ways to hear about things that are happening on the course. But it started with, we want a lot of folks out here. Dan set the vision back in 2018 to do this event for the city of Detroit, for the people of Detroit. And this is a step in that direction to make sure that we're fulfilling the vision that Dan had for bringing a tour event to Detroit for the first time ever, and started back in 2019.
Well, it's incredible, and it was not lost on me when you talked about new lower prices. You don't hear that anywhere anymore, so God bless you. And you can go to rocketclassic.com starting Tuesday, April 7th to start purchasing your tickets, rocketclassic.com. And it wasn't lost on me that $31.30 is a nod to our 313 area code.
I'll have to tip my hat to Nick Barlage. And we were talking about the strategy. He goes, let's take one down to the 313 number. He has that creative mind like I, and I think some of the best ideas come from collaborating.
More information always available at rocketclassic.com, rocketclassic.com. Tickets go on sale Tuesday, April 7th, as you're hearing here first. And it's you've got presented by, who's the presenter now for Rocket Classic?
It's Alumnify, which is ironically part of the MSU Federal Credit Union family. And you know, I can never get too far away from, even though there was a really nice win by Michigan basketball, I can't get too far from the green and white, you know that.
Well, listen, you were a great athletic director there for years, and you did a great job. So good for you. Rocket Classic, presented by Alumnify. And frankly, I wanted you to say it because I wasn't sure how to pronounce it.
And the only other thing I'd mention is the members at DGC are incredible. We're a guest out here. This tournament is a guest, and their hospitality and the redesign of this course, your jaw is going to drop when you step foot on the Detroit Golf Club this year, because the design, the work that Tyler Ray did on this in conjunction with Sam, it's just beautiful out here, and it's going to step up the level of play significantly over prior years. So I've got to thank them. I got to thank you and all the great people at WJR. I appreciate all that you do for the Rocket Classic and all of us in the city of Detroit.
It's only gotten better, Mark Hollis, in now its eighth year. And we salute Rocket Classic, Dan Gilbert, your entire team, Greg Ball, who handles some information that got to our producer, Mike Parsons, and you, the man we enjoyed on JR Sundays with Mark Hollis, Sundays from 8 to 10. Produced by the one and only Dave Rieger.
The Kingpin, Dave Rieger.
The Kingpin. That goes back to his bowling days. And also, by the way, Rocket Classic Tournament Director, all-around good guy, Mark Hollis. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Paul W. I appreciate you so much.
Well, we appreciate you, my friend. And we appreciate the guy coming up next. And we all appreciate the guy he's going to be lauding up next. Out at Startup Nation for Mitch Albom's book party, among other things, author of the number one bestseller, The Stranger in the Lifeboat. I have his book in my hand, Mitch Albom, a novel, Good Morning America Book Club. The novel is Twice. What if you got to do everything in your life again? And, of course, JR Afternoon is featuring this and more with Ryan Ermani. Ryan, it's always a pleasure to say hello to you, even when you're on the
Paul.
Road.
You know it. I enjoy talking to you. We need full segments, you and I think, to chat about all the great things.
Yes, let's suggest that we do a Saturday and Sunday show as well, because nothing beats working 7 days a week. I know I used to do that.
Right. I'm busy, so.
Mike is already throwing his hat out of the ring. Much wiser than I was at his age, that's for sure. What do you got cooking? There's so much to talk about.
Big show today. We're going to be talking to Congressman John James, of course, running for governor as in the state of Michigan. He'll be talking about the Paris Bill of Rights.
We're running out of time.
And Tim Walberg.
Good old Tim Walberg. Good old Ryan Ermani. Coming up next. Regards, Paul W. Smith.